Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again, time for another Spectrum program. We have a return visitor. Our guest is John Yang, who's the Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice. So welcome back, John. Last year, we had a couple of one-offs that your organization did. One was census, the other was voting. But now that life has returned to something resembling abnormal, which is how it is for most of us, given the name of your organization, I presume that the legal aspect of things is something that you all pay a lot of attention to. And so here we are with the Asian communities with a lot of legal issues going on around what's going on in the world. So tell me how your organization has pivoted to our current situation from where you may have been, let's say, a year ago.
Sure. So there's a couple of things that are going on. Number one, obviously, is what we are seeing is just a dramatic increase around the number of anti-Asian attacks that we have seen, the violence that we have seen in our community. So we needed to make sure that we are addressing that. There's a number of ways in which to address it. Part of it is focusing on federal legislation that we can get across that can help gather more data, help get more resources to our community. And then also there are things that we could do to better educate the community on that. You know, when you talk about the legal aspect, certainly that is another tool that has to be in our arsenal, making sure that if we need to go to the courts on certain issues, we do go to the courts. We saw that happen with the census. We've seen that happen in the past around voting and immigration. And we need to be mindful of the likelihood or the possibility of using that again in the future.
Let me ask you a question. I want to drill down a little bit and ask a demographic question. Obviously, the issues that are going on now have been heightened more toward, I would suspect, the East Asian population as opposed to the South Asian population. South Asian population got their turn at bat several years ago when they were being mistaken for Muslim and people of different Middle Eastern cultures. Now it seems that anyone who is East Asian, regardless of where they're from, is sort of thought of by rhetoric as Chinese and is taking the brunt for people who have been beleaguering, beating up on the Chinese culture for one reason or another, politically or health-wise. How do you break down the word Asian into what's really going on in the minds of people committing these acts?
That's a very good question. So we know from statistics, among other places, from a group called Stop AAPI Hate in California, that of these anti-Asian attacks that we've seen in the past year, slightly over 40% have been directed at Chinese Americans. So even saying that shows that it's broader than just Chinese Americans. And I would broaden it a little bit past East Asians, because we certainly the Southeast Asian American population, as well as the Filipino American population, has been affected pretty dramatically by this as well. You're absolutely right that in this particular instance, the South Asian, Muslim, Middle Eastern communities have not seen this in the same way. And unfortunately, they did. They saw this in dramatic ways after 9/11. So this is just the most recent reiteration of this perpetual foreigner syndrome that Asian Americans overall suffer through. This notion that whenever there's an external threat, Asian Americans oftentimes are scapegoated and oftentimes are targeted.
When there was or is an assault and someone is injured or killed in some cases, and the police do make an arrest, do they ever ascertain from the perpetrator the motivation of why they committed the act?
Right. So under our legal framework, there is something that is called a hate crime. And a hate crime is a crime that is motivated by race, gender, or sexual orientation. The problem with that law, though, is that you do need something, some evidence that it actually was motivated that way. One of the things that we found frustrating with respect to the Atlanta killings is that the law enforcement initially said, well, he said that it was because of a sexual addiction. And as a result, they seemed to minimize the possibility that this was motivated by race or gender. Now, we know the fact that Asian women were attacked and murdered. It was Asian, it was women, many of them were immigrants. Those clearly were motivating factors. Those clearly had something to do with the crimes being committed. So that has to be part of our discussion. But at the same time, I also want to just make sure we emphasize that we also want to focus on the victims. In some ways, I don't care whether ultimately this is labeled a hate crime. What I care about is making sure that the victims are taken care of, they have the resources that they need, and we do what we can to really prevent these attacks from happening in the future.
A couple of years back, a couple of decades back, in fact, there was a large thrust by the Black community to be more inclusive in the history telling of the United States history story. Do you believe the participation of Asian Americans and or Chinese Americans, not to get the two mixed up, has been minimized in the telling of American history?
Absolutely. I look back to the example of the Transcontinental Railroad. If you look at the original photographs when the Golden Spike was laid, those photographs contained all white Americans. And frankly, I think they were all white males. Now, we know from history that Chinese laborers worked hard coming from the Bay Area, coming from the West, to link the Western section of the railroad to the Eastern section of the railroad. But their effort, their contributions, that pivotal part of American history were literally erased from the history books. So that's an excellent example of where we need more education about how all of our different communities, the Chinese American community, the African American community, contributed to the success of the United States.
Actually, an apocryphal comment to that is that our friend here in New York, Corky Lee, who recently passed away from COVID, recreated that spike laying ceremony and invited members of the Chinese communities to recreate that and retake that photo, which is now available at the MoCA Chinese Museum here in New York and probably online a million different places. So after the Chinese came and built the railroads, then what for the next 100 years? What other benchmarks have there been that would be important to be included in the telling of the history?
Right. So Chinese Americans labored in the field. So this was when the railroads were built. It was also right after the end of slavery. And so many Chinese Americans actually went down south to work as tenant farmers, among other things. I have friends that are multiple generations from down south because they worked on these farms after the end of slavery. You know, we obviously have Chinese Americans that have contributed in all sorts of different ways, whether it's in the fields of science, whether it is as janitors and custodians that have built this country, literally built this country. And that all does, again, get erased from the history books. You know, when we talk about sort of who helped to solve AIDS and come up with ways in which to combat AIDS, it was a Chinese American that came up with some of the early medicines that seemed to work. So we need to tell that story. We need to tell some stories of how Asian Americans and Chinese Americans have contributed to arts. You think about cellist Yo-Yo Ma. And I just saw a recent story about how he, after his second vaccination, just stayed at that community center and started playing the cello for everyone to just put them a little bit more at peace. I found that beautiful. And those stories need to be told even more.
It seems like the messaging needs to go in two directions. Obviously, our listenership on China America Radio are primarily Chinese or Chinese Americans or Chinese expats, wherever they happen to be in the world. The other messaging is to the unenlightened rest of the population. And those are two entirely different messages. One is, if you are Chinese or Asian, what do you do if X happens? And to the rest of the population, why are you letting X happen?
I think that's right. So certainly for your Chinese American audience, frankly, many in your audience probably don't know some of these stories either, just because they have been whitewashed from history. And I use that term deliberately. So part of it is educate yourself and then find your opportunity to raise these issues, correct some of this misinformation. And you could do it in informal settings. I'm not asking people to be super advocates and be sort of always on a soapbox. At times is that what I call the retail value. You know, just at a PTA meeting or sort of at a get together, if you hear something that doesn't sit quite right with you, be willing to find your voice and address it. Certainly for people that are not Asian American, not Chinese American, I would strongly encourage them to learn about these histories. I mean, they're out there. You know, there are documentaries. PBS has a wonderful documentary on this. There are books that you can read. And just educate yourself on some of these lesser told stories about how America came to be.
Our guest this week is from Asian Americans Advancing Justice, the executive director, John Yang. So, John, what does your organization do moving forward? And do you have some active initiatives? Do you have some links? Do you have some tools that you can share with our audience that people can find through your organization?
Absolutely. So the biggest thing right now for us is in this moment where Asian Americans are getting attacked and getting to be targeted as victims of hate, what we are encouraging people to do is sign up for what's called bystander intervention training, which gives people the tools to respond if they see an act of hate. We're not asking people to be superheroes, but there's oftentimes little things that people can do to minimize that trauma for individuals getting attacked. So that's number one. Certainly number two also is just speaking out in different ways. Again, I'm not asking people necessarily to be advocates or screaming from a soapbox, but just find those opportunities to have these candid conversations about race. So those are two very concrete steps that are asking people. Last thing I might suggest is if you are a victim of hate, so this is directed especially towards your audience, please report it. A simple way to report it is to our website called standagainsthatred.org. There are other websites from a group called Stop AAPI Hate. All of us collect our data and sort of coordinate with each other because that helps us to tell our stories so that people see that this is real, that this discrimination is real. And that puts us in a better position to advocate for things that can help our community.
Finally, maybe more of a sociological question, but in the past week, there have been anti-Asian violence marches and exhibitions all over, from Pittsburgh to New York to everywhere in between. And I saw a lot of Asian faces in the Black Lives Matter marches that occurred similarly. Do you think that the Asian community has looked around and has felt a little bit emboldened by what can happen and decided to be a little more active participants in getting their cause heard?
Absolutely. And that's an important point, is all of this is linked. When you saw what happened to George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and you saw how our communities, including the Asian American community, galvanized around that. And that was a moment because, candidly, our Asian American community has not always shown up for the Black community. And I saw it show up in a slightly different way, in a more positive way last year. And so you are seeing that in part reciprocated this year, is you see a lot of African Americans, a lot of Hispanic Americans showing up for our Asian American community. And you're absolutely right. We've reached a tipping point where we recognize that we need to be loud. We need to be very vocal about what's happening in our community.
John Yang, thank you very, very much. I hope that the next time we have a chance to have you as a guest, it's at a less critical juncture. But let's cross our fingers and hope that 2021 is better for all. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.